Okay, we're continuing the Drash Hashan. We're in the Drish HaChadasar. In the Masadar of Cooks, we are on page Tav Chav Tes. So the Ran was explaining to us that the Torah says by three cases that the judges need to really investigate it well before they assume someone did what they were alleged to have done. And those three crimes were, one is Avodah Zarah, that Beis Din has to check into a well before we believe someone did Avodah Zarah. The second was Ir HaNidachas, that a whole city did Avodah Zarah. And the third was Edim Zomerin. Witnesses were proven false because two other witnesses says you couldn't have seen it. You were with us at a different location that day. So by all three cases, the Torah says specifically by these cases, check into a well. So the Ran had explained to us the first two already. And that is the general rule by all of these is because since they're so unlikely to be true, the Torah said check it out really well. So why is Avodah Zarah so unlikely to be true? Because it's so serious. That's what the Ran says. Since it's such a chamer aveira, no one would be caught. Today we can understand this well. It's very unlikely that someone goes and changes to other religions. So before you believe someone worshipped Avodah Zarah, you have to check into a well. Again, in the times of the Torah, it seems from Tanakh it was plenty common, but maybe the Torah was also talking for our generation. I don't know. Either way, the Ran says it was not common, and therefore the Torah had to say, check it out well. The second one was Ir HaNidachas. That's even more uncommon, and that's why for a whole city to worship Avodah Zarah is very uncommon. So therefore, the Torah writes extra words of check it out, says V'drashta, V'chakarta, V'shalta, Etev. A lot of words to say, really check this out well. This is really unlikely. And now the Ran is going to explain to us Edim Zomerin. What's special about Edim Zomerin that it's so unlikely to be true? Okay, Edim Zomerin nichtav lashon shavel osush nichtav yachid ha'ovid Avodah Zarah. So the words the Torah uses to check out Edim Zomerin are very similar to what it uses to when it says to check out an individual who did Avodah Zarah. Shisham ne'emar v'darshu ha'shoftim heitiv, that the judges should check it out well. So by using these words, that it says check it out well, but doesn't say the whole long list it said by Ir HaNidachas, that teaches us that it's not as unlikely to be true as an Ir HaNidachas. But it's just as unlikely as someone worshiping as a Jew worshiping Avodah Zarah. So the Ran says, Tzarech tam lama. We have to explain like why not? Why is this so unlikely to be true? Shein zem mipnei chomer avera. It's not because the Avera is such a serious Avera of testifying falsely. Yeah, it's not trying to knock down that it's not an Avera. It's certainly an Avera to testify falsely. But what makes it more serious than keeping Shabbos or whatever? Well, it's not because it's more serious. Like Avodah Zarah is from the more serious Averas. Okay. But testifying falsely is lying. That's true. But why is it more serious than any other mitzvah in the Torah? That what makes it more serious than any other avera? And it's not. That's what the Ran is saying. It's not more serious than any other avera in the Torah. So why is it so unlikely to be true? Havala time k'moshom. But the reason is, as I will explain, yaduahu, and that is because it is known. Ki afilu misha muchzik b'sheker, even someone who's known to lie. Eino raga lios meshaker b'davar shu asa lizbar. Even people who lie usually don't lie about something they know that they could easily be caught as liars about. You want to lie about something that you can't get found out about. It's unlikely someone would lie about something that you just look out the window and see it's not true. And then, the guy loses. No one's going to listen to him. The figa chamra b'seinu, therefore Chazal told us, the milsa da avida legluye, afilo karav, afilo isha ne'mana b'kach. Chazal tell us that something that you can find out, it's eventually going to be revealed on its own, everyone's going to figure out the truth soon. You can even believe someone who's normally not kosher leidus about. If someone says that they saw that Reuven died, his wife could get married. So that's generally considered something that's avida legluye, because if Reuven didn't die, he's going to show up one day, and then everyone will see that you're a liar. So usually therefore even people we normally don't believe, we believe for testimonies that even though we all don't know the answer, what the truth is now, except based on what this witness said. But since everybody knows, we're going to find out soon if he's telling the truth or not, we could even believe people who we wouldn't normally believe. Okay. V'yaduahu, and it's known, Shirov ha'meshakrim lo hayu bodim libam davar chadash lo hayu klal. Most people who lie, Again, this is most. Most people who lie don't completely make up a total story that has no connection to reality. Aval b'maisa echad shenase, but it's just with a story that happened. Yeshakru v'yeshanu tzirasav tchunaso. They change stories. You know, they start with a kernel of truth, a story that happened, but they change it. They warp it. So that's most liars. Because it's unlikely you'll figure out that they're lying. In other words, if they start with the basic gist of truth, so it's much less likely you'll find out that they're liars. And to have a guy completely make up a story that never was ever, that's very unusual and unlikely. It happens, but it's unusual. It's even more unlikely to make up a story when you weren't even there, because it's super easy to find out that you're a liar. To make up a story is one thing, that's unlikely. To make up a story and say you were in a place you weren't at, that's even more unlikely. Imloshi's diamonds outside of Tachlis Azaras Agamra, except in very unusual, weird cases. Why? Lafisha Mechaziv Yari Linafshu, because the guy who's lying is afraid. Because he knows, if he says, yeah, I was in Spain last week, and boy, did I see, you know, aren't you afraid that people were with you last week? Like, someone's going to come in and say, no, he wasn't in Spain, he was here. So, even though it's unlikely for people to make up stories, it's even more unlikely for people to make up stories where they put themselves in a place that everybody knows they weren't. So, v'yaduahu, and it's known, she'inyan edim zomim hu al ze'atzad, and that's exactly what edim zomim are. She'ime edim b'davar echad sh'nase b'makom ploni u'bizman ploni. The case of edim zomim is, there's two witnesses come in and say, we were in New York on Sunday, January 5th. And two other witnesses come in and say, no, you were in Baltimore on Sunday, January 5th. You were with us. It's very unlikely that scenario happens because they know they're going to be found out because they knew they were in Baltimore. So why would they say that? They know it's easy for them to be caught because there were people that were with them. Because it's so unlikely for the case of Edom Zomim to happen, therefore, the Torah tells the judges, you check this out really well. This is very, very unlikely. Make sure you check it out well that the person really made up, that these witnesses really made up a story like this. It is for this reason itself that the Torah told us to believe the second group that said you guys were with us that day more than the first group who said, no, we weren't. We're in New York. Even though it's two against two. In other words, the Torah always says, if two people come in, two witnesses come in and say, Reuven killed Shimon on Sunday, January 5th in New York. And two more witnesses come in and say, no, Reuven did not kill Shimon on Sunday, January 5th in New York. Reuven never killed Shimon at all. It's a lie. So we don't believe the second group more than the first group. We just discount both of them because we have testimonies that contradict each other. Two Edim, three Edim, 100 Edim, 1,000 Edim, it doesn't matter. Two, as long as it's at least two Edim against two Edim, we just cancel each other out. In the case of Edim Zomim, we don't just cancel each other out. We believe the second group. So much so that we make the first group pay. In other words, if two witnesses come in and say Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon, and it turns out, and two Edim come in afterwards and say, no, you couldn't have seen that loan take place because you were with us in another city, we believe that second group so much so that we make the first group of witnesses pay for the money they were going to make the other guy lose. So we fully believe, the Torah instructs us to fully believe the second group. The people who come and say, you were with us at a different place on that day. And the Rana is saying, why is that? He's going to explain based on what he just said. Why is it that the Torah thinks we should believe the second group more than the first group. Why don't we say it's similar to two witnesses coming in and say, two say you, Reuven killed Shimon, two say he didn't kill Shimon, or two witnesses say he borrowed money, two witnesses say he didn't borrow money. We don't believe more than one more than the other. We cancel both of them out because they're just contradicting each other. We don't know what to do. But when the second group of witnesses doesn't contradict the first group, they don't say Reuven didn't borrow the money. They just say, you witnesses, you weren't there. You couldn't have seen it. You were with us somewhere else. We totally believe the second witnesses, and we discount the first group completely. We believe the second totally. Why is that? The reason is, because it's much more unlikely that the people who are coming to say that the first group of witnesses weren't there, it's much more likely that they are not lying than that the first group's not lying. Even though the two of them are both saying, you know, they're both putting themselves in a place. The first group said, we were Sunday in New York watching Reuven kill Shimon. Second group said, no, you were with us on Sunday in Baltimore. You couldn't have seen it. So both of them are sticking their necks out there to say we were at a certain place at a certain time where other people can say, no, you weren't. But still, the people are coming to say that the witnesses, let's call the witnesses Reuven and Shimon for now. Reuven and Shimon, you were not in New York. You were with us in Baltimore. They're sticking their necks out more. Why? Ki ha-muzmin ulai chashvu shlo ra'am shum adam b'makom acher b'osazman. Because the first group of witnesses, they say, you know what? Yeah, we were in Baltimore. That's true. But maybe nobody saw us in Baltimore. So we'll say we were in New York. You know, maybe we won't get caught. Maybe nobody saw us in Baltimore. Even though this is an unusual case, that's why they stuck their necks out to say this kind of lie, because they thought maybe nobody noticed them in Baltimore. But the people are coming to say that you, witnesses, you were not in New York, you were with us in Baltimore. If those guys, if the second group's lying, how would they not be afraid of the people who they're claiming were with them? That will prove that they're correct. And the people who saw them there will testify to it's true. In other words, if the second group is saying, if the second group that said you guys were with us in Baltimore are liars, so then how would they not be afraid that they're going to get caught? In other words, if the first group of witnesses really was in New York that day, and the second group who said you guys were with us in Baltimore, but they weren't, so how would they not be afraid? Because they know they're lying. That means the first group of witnesses is going to say, what are you talking about? We were in New York. My mom was with me. Wouldn't they be afraid that they were going to say, because in other words, if the second group wasn't really with them that, you know, in another place, they should be afraid that the first group's going to say, what do you mean? I had 10 people around me. You don't know who was around me that day. Here, I'll bring in 10 witnesses who saw me that day there. So the second group should be very afraid that they're going to get caught more than the first group. Because they should know that the first group of witnesses is going to bring all kinds of people who saw they were in New York that day. Boses went at that time, Shumrahan Shanasa Shamamaisa, who at the time when they claimed the guy killed the other guy, and then they said they were in New York at that time, they'll be able to bring 100 witnesses who said that they were there. Whether the story is true or not. In other words, even if the first group made up the story that Reuven really didn't kill Shimon, but to argue about where I was, you know, if you're lying and you know I was, or you don't know where I was, but if you're lying about saying that I was with you in Baltimore, so then you should be afraid of who knows who was with me then. I could prove you wrong so easily. So therefore, until we figure out that it's true for sure that these guys really are Edom Zomim, until we check it out well, so it makes more sense to believe the second group than to believe the first group unless we check it out well and find out otherwise. But other than that, it makes sense more sense to believe the second group than the first group. Okay, v'lo yister masha amra basinu zal, de'idim zom min chidushu. This is not a contradiction to what Chazal tell us in Bava Kamma, that the concept of edim zom min is a chidush. Right, the Gemara says in Bava Kamma that the fact that the Torah told us to believe the second group of witnesses over the first group is a chiddush. The maychaz is to samchasahani smachani. Because why are you believing the second group of witnesses more than the first group, which is what we started off explaining? Usually the Torah doesn't believe any one group of witnesses over the other. And here we are. So the Gemara Bava Kamma says that it's a chiddushu, at least according to some. Because why should you believe one group over the other? Shirotim Lomer, they mean to say, Shane, so in other words, the Ran says, this is not a question on what I just told you, right? Because Ran just gave a whole theory why you should believe the second group more than the first group. So the Ran explains, Shirotim Lomer, that what that Gemara means is, Shane derech ha-Torah lismoch al hanira mihamaisa im hu emes olo. Kimal edesh ne'edim. Because the way the Torah operates is not to look at circumstantial evidence and look at, does it make sense that Reuven killed Shimon? Does it not make sense? The way the Torah works is, if there's two witnesses that say something happened, that's what we go with. Period. We don't look at, does it make sense? We don't look at, is it likely, not likely? The Torah doesn't tell us to use that in our judgment. It says, witnesses say something, that's it. Shari ha'imina ha'torah shnei kaliyolam kol zman shlo yu psulim l'hayid kamosha. The Torah tells us if you have two regular Jews, they're just not pasul edus, they're kasher edus. That means they haven't done any, whatever, they haven't done something, some sin, to make it that we can't trust their testimony. A regular Jew who can be a witness is just as believed. Two regular Jews walk in and give testimony that Reuven killed Shimon, and Shmuel and Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron all walk in and say, no, Reuven did not kill Shimon. We don't believe anyone more than the other, because the Torah tells, I know who's more likely to be believed there. But the Torah tells us it doesn't matter. If there's two kosher witnesses, that's it. They're 100% believable, and if you have two against two, we don't know what to do. We can't trust either one. So we always go with that. Hinei im kein, if so, kishin nismoch kan al hamizimin. But if we're going to rely here more on the second group, Yoser mi amuzman, more than the first group, just because it makes more sense, if we're going to believe the second group that says you guys were with us somewhere else, just because it's more likely that they're telling the truth, who chiddush? That's a chiddush, because we don't usually do that. And that's a yitzia mi derech ha-Torah b'shar mekomos. That's an exception from the rest of the Torah. In other words, what the Ran is saying is, this is not a contradiction to what he said. It 100% makes more sense to believe the second group more than the first group, because they're sticking their necks out much further. It's much harder to lie. The second group, it would be much harder for them to lie than the first group. But it doesn't make it not a chiddush, because usually the Torah doesn't look at that. It doesn't look at who's more likely to be believed, because Moshe and Aaron are certainly more likely to be believed than two Joe Schmoes. But the Torah usually doesn't look at that, just says, look, this is the way we work it. If there's two Edom, two witnesses, we believe them no matter what. So you should have said the same thing here too, by Edom Zomman, and that's what the Gemara is telling you. That's the Chiddush of Edom Zomman. That's what's special, so unusual about Edom Zomman. But it's clear what I said is true, because it's so weird and unusual for Edom Zomman to be true. Chiva Torah Shnidrash Inyan Heitiv. The Torah told us to look into it very well. Kodem Shnaim Inehu. Before we'll believe it. V'nisak Lavadin, and we'll pass in that someone should be punished for it. Okay, we will stop here.